Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
You know who likes giant American flags? Pat McAfee. If you fly a giant American flag anywhere around where McAfee is broadcasting, he will talk about it at least a dozen times.
Oh,
when
really?
When he went to College Station with Game Day, he kept talking about the big American flag that was hanging somewhere in College Station. He kept talking about that thing. And I was like, okay, all right, big American flag. Every time I hear that now, I think of Pat McAfee.
I
don't know if that's great or not.
You know what? No, honestly, that's one of the I love that commercial because it does catch your ear, and I've just noticed that before it is. When a car dealership or a restaurant or something like that, it catches your eye.
It does,
and it makes you feel like, oh, all right, yeah, all right, I'm gung ho for America too.
Yes,
it's a smart
love
strategy.
America. It's yes,
a very
love
smart
America.
Strategy.
But I just don't know that I have a flag that big that I can fly anywhere. But apparently,
the whole thing about a flag that big is that you got to be because it's an American flag. You got to be careful with it.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
So when it comes to raising it and lowering it and caring, not letting it touch the ground and everything, it's a process. It's not just a one-time thing.
Yeah, I just need
automobile. You got to take care of it after you buy it too.
That's right. I just have the little one that I can display properly. I'm not sure the size of the flag determines how much I love the United States. I think, but I don't know.
If I were a business owner, especially, I would lean hard into just like the almost obnoxious and obviously selfish patriotism to where I'd have a big eagle on my wall, I'd have a giant flag, I'd have statues of the forefathers and everything.
I just think of
whichever ones are least likely to get pulled down in a protest or something. Yeah, all of it.
Every time I hear Eagles, I think of John C. Reilly and Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. And he's like, I imagine my Jesus with Eagles wings. And I always think about that. I always think about that whenever the Eagles brought up. I always think about him saying that. I like to think of my Jesus with Eagles wings. Speaking of patriotism and patriots.
Good old 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus.
That's right. As Colin says, 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. That was one of the Jesuses that Will Ferrell prayed to in that particular movie. That came up as a clue on Jeopardy the other night. That has become a Harris staple. By the way, John Harrison for Sean Pendergast today. That is a Harris staple, Jeopardy. And it will cause fights in the house.
Oh, yeah?
Fights. Who got it first? Who didn't? There'll be times where the next two questions are not heard. Because they're fighting over, my kids are fighting over who got the Jeopardy question right or not. So, yeah, Jeopardy ends up bringing up a good fight. Okay, speaking of Patriots, there is a rumor. I've seen this, and I've read this, and I've heard this. I was listening to, I can't remember who I was listening to. It was a podcast, and they brought this up. But there's a rumor, and this has kind of a two-part question for you, Seth. There's a rumor that the Patriots may jettison Gerard Mayo, a former Patriots linebacker, for another Patriots linebacker to be their new head coach, one Mike Vrabel. So here's my question, Seth. Number one, Vrabel, question mark, Patriots, question mark. Number two, or B, I can't remember how I said it, A or B, one or two. It's been a long day. Did you give up on a guy after a year?
Right.
I understand what happened here in Houston. It was a little different situation. But Mayo was the guy that was being kind of groomed to be the head coach in New England once Belichick was gone. You give up on that over a year. So Vrabel to the Patriots, question mark. Giving up on Mayo after a year, question mark.
I would be, you know, without having followed them all that closely this year, if your master plan going back several years was that, okay, Gerard Mayo's the guy who's kind of just the next head coach in waiting, or however you thought you might it might play out. I think you gotta acknowledge and realize that okay, you're hiring a guy that's he's young by coaching standards. He's only been in the business for a few years,
yeah.
And that there's probably going to be some growing pains. And by the way, you're going to have a rookie quarterback, this, that, all of the other. It's easy for me, a non-Patriots fan, to say, yeah, they should let it roll one more year with it. I kind of like that he called the defense soft. I know that was a big.
Yeah,
I'm always like,
what
okay,
would you have done as a player if say Gary Kubiak comes in and goes, yeah, our defense is soft.
Well, you know what? Because a few weeks later, Udoka said it after a disappointing loss I can't remember who they lost to, but Udoka just flat out said, we were soft tonight. We got to be. And Fred Van Vliet,
yeah,
when asked about the comments, was like, yep, that's right, we were. Ideally, you recognize that you're playing soft. I mean, because that's an insult. I don't think people realize
that. That is the insult of all insults right there.
The S word is a trigger, man. So you gotta, it depends on what kind of coach you are. If you're a guy that says it all the time, it starts to lose its import.
Right.
But if it's a one-off or something, it hits you. If you respect the coach, you're like, oh crap, I don't want to be that guy. So I don't know. As far as Vrabel going in, my cautionary tale for the Patriots organization. Poor, it's down on their luck as they've been low these many years.
Yeah.
I think whenever you try too hard to recapture or emulate the past, you're treading in dangerous waters. And it's really hard because I think that Mike Vrabel is a really good head coach. I think he's probably a better coach than he is a coordinator. But are they... If they hired him, is it more of an indication that they're just still trying to recreate or do something that you just can't replicate? Yeah. Because when I look at the two teams that I respect the most probably in terms of the way they've operated, the types of players they have, the success that they've had over a long stretch of time, the Ravens and the Steelers are really, really good. And they've done, both of those teams have done it with a couple different head coaches. They've done it with different quarterbacks. With the Ravens, they did it without a quarterback at all, basically. The biggest common denominator there is that their personnel people have a culture.
Yep, absolutely.
Like that, and they draft really well. You know, in the case of the Ravens, they use their compensatory picks really well. And it's not, neither of those teams are heavy-duty free agency acquisition-type teams. It's a lot of homegrown talent. And they identify these just blue-collar football players, and they play the game that you want to play. Where I look at the Patriots, and I think if there was any weakness as an organization in their stretch, I mean, it's like, obviously they didn't have many weaknesses, but I think they were much better on the actual football side of things than they were at actually identifying talent. And some of their drafting of wide receivers or what have you, they were really, really good for a while, and then the brain drain started to seep in, and it felt like once they lost Caserio, not that Caserio was the driving force, but like Caserio is kind of like the last remaining guy from the personnel side of things that had created the castle.
Yep.
So I don't know where they are on that side of everything. I don't know how much the coaching is going to matter if they haven't really address the scouting and the GM side of things. But I like Vrabel. Vrabel's the type of coach that I think the fans would love and everything. And it's just a matter of, okay, what can he do with a young quarterback?
Yeah, I think Vrabel in New England would be interesting. I think Vrabel with the New York Jets would be wild, depending on especially what happens to Aaron Rodgers. But that might be a defense that's more maybe ready-made for Vrabel. That's going to be interesting. I'm glad.
I don't think Vrabel. Can you imagine Vrabel and Aaron Rodgers?
Someone would die by the end of the year. I don't know which one.
He wouldn't. I mean, he would. It would be a pretty quick fight between Vrabel and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. You bring up the Ravens. The Ravens. There's always a point whenever I'm doing drafts. Where you look up the Ravens draft and they draft, Tyler Linderbaum. You're like, yeah, of course, of course. It's like the player they draft, you just look at it and go, of course. But it's also the moves the Ravens make. 2018, Number 32 pick, Philadelphia Eagles have got that pick. They trade their first and fourth to Baltimore in exchange for Baltimore's second and fourth. And a second-round selection in 2019. That's a pretty small price to have paid for Lamar Jackson now looking back. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't that much. They just moved to the bottom of the first round, locked up Lamar, and now the guy could be a three-time MVP. Now, obviously, he's got to prove it in the AFC Championship game, but give him time. But they make those moves, too. You look up, and they've made the smartest move of anybody. You know, the Eagles have been in that mindset. You know, drafting Jalen Hurts just looked like nothing. It was a second-round pick, bringing a guy, maybe building his. And now you look at Jalen Hurts kind of driving that machine, although it doesn't look like he might be playing this weekend, so we'll see what's going on.
That thing popped up real quick yesterday. I saw it because people rehash this every now and then after Lamar has a game like he had versus the Texans. Somebody will say, I can't believe there wasn't a team in the league that tried to get Lamar Jackson. And it drives me crazy because there's a reason that no team tried to go after him. It's because they knew the Ravens were going to re-sign him. He was a restricted free agent, and teams just didn't want to bother with creating any kind of extra drama for what would be a failed mission. Like if you went out and tried to get – so you're not going to tell your current quarterback, hey, we're going after Lamar, but you're cool if it doesn't work out, right? Because the Ravens were going to do what they did, which was give him a league-leading contract. It was never an actual free agency.
Okay, I'm going to ask Seth this because I think that Seth would understand because of the position he played, how thankless that job actually was. Had Seth played a different position prior to and then got moved down to nose tackle, would he have looked at it as a demotion, even if he would have gotten paid a lot of money? Something for you to think about, Seth. We'll talk about who that player is and what it means going forward next.